Good morning. I'm going to call to order the meeting of the Johnson Emergency Communications Service Association Policy Board for Friday, December 16th. First item is recognize alternates. Don Saxon is here for Dave Wilson. And we really don't have any other alternates. We do have Heather Woody here. She's a job coach. Do you want to fill in any more on that?
Let's do the budget stuff first, and I'll
introduce Heather. Okay. She's got a meeting, so she's got some things to cover, but she's got a meeting, 10 o'clock in Waterloo?
It really is only an hour and 15. I know.
First item is approved minutes of the November 18, 2011 Policy Board meeting and November 28th Board Budget Work Session. Motion approved by Wright. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Lundell. All in favor, aye.
I just have a question.
I'm sorry.
Because I wasn't here, I don't know. I'm assuming that this was Rick Foss from the city of Iowa City.
Yes, it was.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
And Welch is spelled W-E-L-C-H.
Yes,
you corrected that.
Oh, you got that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was after I put everything out, so in the official, it'll be fixed.
Great.
All in favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, likewise. Motion is approved. Comments from the public? No comments. Next item is a public hearing to approve Resolution 201119, approving the operating budget for the fiscal year 2013. I will open the public hearing for any comments to be made from any public. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to recognize that there was at least one written comment submitted?
Yeah, I guess we should. You want to go ahead and go
ahead. Yeah, I'll read that if you want.
Sure.
It came from the city of Coralville, from Mayor Fawcett, dated December 14th, addressed to Pat as the chair of this group. And it says, this is to notify you, the purpose of this email is to go on record that the city, Coralville City Council, and I have reviewed the proposed operating budget for the JEC and find it is appropriate. It is my desire to acknowledge the diligent efforts of the JEC staff and policy board members in preparation of the budget proposal. We wish to go on record stating that at this time we do not support any proposed changes to either the existing 20AD agreement, which established the Joint Emergency Communication Services Association of Johnson County, or the bylaws under which it operates. Given that the center is still in its operating infancy, we feel it would not be prudent to make changes at this time. Thank you and your policy board colleagues for your oversight of this valuable public safety asset. Johnson County should be pleased by the advancements made in public safety resulting from this operation.
Thank you.
Sincerely, Mayor Foss.
Nice letter. Mm-hmm.
I did share that with the Board of Supervisors.
Great. Thank you.
Anything further? Public comment? Okay, we will close the public hearing. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Motion to approve the budget by Lundell, second by Wright. Further discussion? Do we need a roll call or just all in favor on that, Jeff? Roll call. We'll start out with
Bailey.
Regina Bailey.
Yes.
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 Lonnie Polkowski.
Lonnie Polkowski, yes. And yes for me. So, motion is approved. Next item is consider a motion to adjourn to executive session to evaluate the professional competency of an individual whose performance is being considered when necessary to prevent needless and irreparable injury to that individual's reputation and to that individual's request as a closed session pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.51, parenthesis I, and I do have that request.
So moved.
Motion for executive session by Bailey, second by Pokrabi. Roll call. Gina?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Aye.
Pat?
Yes. We are in executive session.
Yes.
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 Yes. We are out of executive session.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Say it out. Merry Christmas.
Yep.
You don't even have to speak. I will not speak. Nobody needs to.
least not through Cedar Rapids.
Not through Cedar Rapids. Right, right, right. Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you.
Is Tom coming back in?
Yeah.
Did you get them or?
I subsequently heard, just was talking with Barry Bedford, Corporal Chief, that he had used Heather to do coaching with the command staff at the Central Police Department.
Yeah, during our discussion,
I thought it was really good things. I was glad
the annual report I will
see her work a little bit. Yeah.
What's her last name?
Highly recognized runner, track runner, and now he's an assistant track coach at Iowa.
The next item is action to approve resolution 2011-20, approving annual report and annual financial statement. I guess what I'll do is take a motion on this in a second, then we'll very briefly go over the annual report for approval.
I would move approval.
Motion approval by Wright, second by Lundell. And we do have a motion. You want to review that with us?
Sure. As you'll notice, there is no executive director's report in this month's agenda as well, and that was because of the annual report. And just before I get into the annual report, just a couple things to pass along to everyone. As we've already discussed and you already know, but just to reaffirm it, Charles Hodges has been hired. He comes to us from Norristown, Pennsylvania, with many, many years of experience on the job. He's actually been to the area twice now. He and his wife will be moving into a place on December 30th, as a matter of fact. They got a six-month lease, and then they'll be purchasing a house. So he starts here January 3rd. Policies and procedures, as you all well know, were put out November 30th, and they are in place, and they are currently being reviewed by and read by the dispatchers. One of the policies was they had 30 days after receipt to go through everything and make sure that they were on board. The only two other things, and you've already approved the budget, but at the budget work session that we had November 28th, I was asked to show where the 911 dollars were being used, and I believe I did that in the budget. And one of the other questions was, could the E911 dollars be used for the NCIC portion of our budget out here? And the answer on that is no. So the $275,000 that was a concern, there's about $200,000 of that that will roll over for fiscal year 14, and we'll be able to use those dollars then. Now, just getting into the annual report, you were all provided a copy of it. Basically, you've got a letter from me introducing it, our vision and mission statement, as well as the services provided, the organizational chart, personnel allocation. Probably the main thing that everyone is truly interested in is the statistics for the center between July 1st of 2010 and June 30th of 2011. We took a total of 44,963 emergency calls, and that was basically wireline, wireless, and VoIP calls total. You'll notice the difference between wireless and wireline. It's almost threefold.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Can I interject something in there on that? Because all of you are fairly active politically. When you talk about the wireless, or if you hear talk about it, the state, of course, they decide how that's divvied up. You all are aware of that. Well, several of organizations, including ISSDA, has continued to promote the idea of simplifying the formula for wireless E911 funds, saying that the money should simply go back to the address of the subscriber's bill. So if someone is in Iowa City that and they have a local address, whatever that county residence that the subscriber has on their bill, that's where the E911 funds that are collected should be sent back to. And we believe that because, as you can see, the resources are being used locally. Therefore, all the funds should be going to address those resources. Well, the state is and will fight hard against that simplified formula, because that doesn't give them the money they want to build the statewide network that they want. So as you're talking to people, or you're going to Des Moines and working on your other pet projects, if you hear things like that come up, I would just remind you that it would be best for us if all our E911 money that is generated wirelessly did come back to us, rather than, because
how is it distributed now?
It's a formula that the state decides on, depending on if they need it or not, or something else. They have ultimate control, but we do get some wireless funds, but we do not clearly get as much as we should be.
Lonnie, it might be helpful, just given that all of our entities have legislative priorities, for that information to be out there in some kind of formalized fashion, a letter from, I don't know if it would be from emergency management, from this board, from you, the sheriff, to make people aware, because I think that would bring it to the surface and could put it in an official legislative policy for some of our entities.
Well, I know the county had already submitted their priorities and already developed them, and it's not anywhere on there, but I can see what we have through ISSDA and try and get you guys something.
I think that might be helpful. Iowa City has not codified their policies yet because they're doing it with new council.
What's the potential revenue? Do you know?
I do not.
That would be helpful to know if we had.
I'm not sure who could tell us that. I think we had it. I think I saw once a statewide level how much it amounted to, but I'm not sure. So
we deduct her line.
We're going to add a long person number. We're going to have to bring back.
I think it's 75 cents.
Yeah.
Because see, they were last year they were talking about raising it to $2, mm-hmm. and of course that didn't happen, and it's probably not going to happen this year. So
that has to go for a vote in the public. So.
What do you say the state? What state agency?
Barb Voss.
Insurance commissioner, isn't she?
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security. Oh, okay.
Homeland Security.
And
the Johnson County right now is currently getting an average of 81 to 85,000 over the last three budget years. That's all that's coming back to us from wireless.
Per year?
See what I mean? That's probably a smidgen, 10%, 20% of what we should be getting, probably.
Do we know how what effect, like, university students, most of them are probably paid by their parents, what effect that would have on that
number? What I was wondering as well.
Well, I don't think that, and we understand that. Well, it's the same thing as when you have a crash out on the interstate. You're talking 20, 30 calls at a minimum, probably. And likely, if you did get 30, 20 of them would have a subscriber address outside the county.
Yeah.
So,
even
but
outside the state.
Pardon?
No, a lot of my staff even have, they come in from California or whatever, and they still have that cell number. Does that go back then to that area?
He's talking about the address of the bill, at some point, home address.
Yeah. So where the bill is sent.
But I think Pat's point about a lot of our student residents, perhaps those bills continue to
correct.
Yeah, but not all.
Okay.
Any other
Just continuing on again, the total amount of emergency calls received in the center, 44,963. The next page, there's a little bit of a breakout of that, of all the calls received into the center or that went out of the center. And the emergency calls, 37,424. Non-emergency or routine were 95,942. Those are the calls that we get when for the jail, exactly. But not for. I didn't mean it that way.
One of many here.
Yeah, and the majority of those calls are, an officer was just at my house 20 minutes ago, and he asked me to call him back. They call here, we get them in touch with them. Those are what the non-emergency calls are, calling on wants and warrants and so on and so forth.
To clarify, it's because people are not used to having an automated system at the sheriff's office, and they don't have the patience to listen to their options.
I understand that.
I knew you would.
Gary, it seems like there's a discrepancy between the wireline to wireless comparisons here, the numbers of calls that come in, and your emergency calls number.
The emergency call number on the other page also includes the abandoned. So if you add the abandoned to the emergency 911, they come in, and we treat all abandoned calls as an emergency call.
Understood. Mm-hmm.
So there's your difference in the number. And an abandoned call, just for an explanation on that, is the call comes in and it is hung up or it is disconnected before we get the opportunity to respond to it. So in other words, it may be the second ring, we pick up, there's nobody there, but we do get the Annie and the Allie of that information, so we at least have a phone number to call back. And our policy is to call back at least two times. Sometimes, and you know, if it goes to voicemail or something like that, we will continue until we get a hold of somebody. If it is a landline call and we have an address and we do not get a response, we do send an officer to that house. Because in that instance, it could be somebody pulled the phone line out of the wall or whatever. So we do that.
I know it's after the fact, but in those kinds of detailed situations where the numbers are looking different on their face, it might be helpful to have some notes. I mean,
okay.
I looked at mine online, and I don't remember seeing that. Okay, it is.
Yeah, it was 44963 on one page, and then it's 37424 on the other page. But when you throw the abandons in, it equals out.
I'll just comment as somebody who dialed 911 by accident and hung up before I even thought it had rung.
Oh, yeah.
I still got the call back. So it does work.
It does. And along those same lines as well, and I have a sister to attest to this, children in the house playing with the phone quite often pick them up, and if you have one button 911 dial on your phone, which a lot of people do, three times over the past 5 years, my sister, who lives in Pennsylvania, has had the Lebanon Police Department knocking on her door, wanting to know what's going on, and then when she went to the door and then found her daughter in the closet with the phone, then she realized.
Oh, wow.
So, and that happens quite often. Next page is the computer-aided dispatch summary, and you'll see the CAD incidents, basically CAD dispatches. And when I talk about CAD dispatches, the numbers are a little skewed, and here's the reason why. If there is an incident, for example, let's say a medical emergency, and we send two Iowa City engines to it, or an engine and a rescue truck to it, it doesn't be, those are counted as incidents. So there's two there, so CAD counts it as two separate incidents, even though it's only one number.
Is there a way to break that out so that...
No, there's not.
Does sort of,
it does skew it a little bit.
It skews it a lot.
Yes. And we've been working with TAC-10 as a way to break that out.
It's kind of amazing how over the 12 months the CAD incidents are so level. There's really not much of a bump anywhere.
And you know, when you usually see your drops in November, December, and January, it gets colder out, people don't go outside as much. And as it starts getting warm, they go up. And if you looked at it on like a day-to-day or a weekly basis, you'd see, especially when springtime comes, you'll see major spikes on a Friday and a Saturday when it's 75 degrees out and people are finally out of the house. And then you'll watch it drop off for a couple of days. And, the, you know, temperature plays a major role in in our types of incidents.
And in my real job of injury prevention field, we call the summer the trauma season because there's definite spikes in traumas during the summer months compared to the rest of the year.
I've never understood why most crashes occur on a warm, bright, sunny day. Never understood that.
Yeah. More people out there.
Most serious crashes, I guess it is.
People aren't paying attention because it's a warm, nice, sunny day. You don't expect anything to go wrong on a day like that.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then just the next page, and this is something that actually Tom and I were both very, very interested in, radio system usage. And this is not for the fiscal year of 2011, but it is for the 5 months of the current fiscal year that we are in, July 1st of 2011 through November 30th of 2011, which is part of the fiscal year 2012. And that is basically radio system usage. That is the amount of, there's 2,386,473,000 push-to-talks. And a push-to-talk is every time I push that button, whether I be an officer on the road or whether I be a dispatcher, it is a push-to-talk that somebody has to respond to. Whether it's an officer talking to another officer on car-to-car, whether it's an officer talking to dispatch, whether it's dispatch talking to them. So that's the amount of traffic, if you will, that is on the radio system during any given month.
And non-public safety.
And non-public safety as well.
I'm surprised you're able to track that.
And then pretty much after that, just a little bit of conversation about telecommunications, the designated telephone trunk lines, the command here, emergency medical dispatch, which of course we are doing and have been doing since our inception, and will continue to do. There's the 2012 fiscal year budget is in there, and the financials.
Any questions?
Well, I would just make a comment. I think it would be, and this is my line of thinking, best if when we do an annual report that it's actually prepared and presented like in January of each year. That way you have the full data of January through December of the calendar year, unless you want to do them by fiscal year. Instead of mixing and matching, you know what I mean? Unless the board doesn't feel that that's the best way to do it.
The bylaws require this to be at the annual meeting, which is currently in December of the year.
Really?
Okay. We don't want to change this one.
No.
We don't have to open up the bylaws.
Never mind.
Good idea. We
did have a long discussion over that.
We have to have an annual report. It has to be circulated by March. But there's this tension between whether or not you should have your annual report be the fiscal year or the calendar year. And so we just decided, based on the timing of the budget, we're going to have our annual meeting now to approve the budget to get it to EMA on time. And so do the annual report and the annual budget at the same meeting. That was the logic. I'm not saying it was perfect, but
right. That's
at least the explanation for it.
I understand that.
Not a problem.
Mike, the only question is, how is the annual report disseminated now? How is it going to be used so other people get to see it?
All board members get it, and then as well, they'll be mailed on, well, obviously it has to be approved first,
yeah.
But if it's approved at today's meeting, then a copy of it will go to each member entity, so the Board of Supervisors, City Council of Coralville, as well as North Liberty, as well as Iowa City, will get a copy of the annual report.
It goes on our website.
And it goes on our website as well.
Yeah, I don't know how many people would be interested, but a little news release saying it's available on the website.
So. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
Whether or not it would get a lot of use, it'd probably be a good idea to send it to the public libraries.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
They'll often just put that, something like an annual report out for the public to just peruse.
further?
It was an interesting report.
Yeah.
That's good
together. Information.
Thank you.
It's a busy place.
You can thank Tom as well. Tom put a lot of time and effort into this as well, so.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Roll call, Regina.
Yes.
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 Bonnie. Matt, yes. Finance report, annual report is approved. Other business.
I'd just like to take a point of privilege and say it's been a pleasure serving with all of you. This has been such an interesting ride. But, you know, getting the JEC up and running is really something I'm very proud of.
I would also like to say I've been with this from its little hatchling beginning, and it feels good to see where it is. I feel like it's in a good place, and that it is where we intended it to be as we developed this project. So carry on and take good care of it. That's what I have to say.
We're really going to miss the institutional memory and of both of you as you go off. And because it's still important. We're still young enough that that's important. It comes up a lot. So those of us, the old timers, aren't going anywhere.
And
we're still around.
Yeah, still around.
Yeah.
And I would echo the same. You know, going off the same thing in January. And since inception of this, I've been on board with that and supportive of the new communications center, and I still am. And if there's any way in the future I can be of assistance, certainly feel free to contact me. But it's good to see it come this far and be where it's at today. I think it deserves public safety really well.
Yeah, I would say thanks as well, because I can remember about 6.5 years ago, a couple of us anyway were in this from the very beginning, and
Friday after Friday,
we could not. I could not tell you how many hours we probably have invested in this, and to see, in particular, Regina and Pat, who were in the beginning, go away with your hours of knowledge. But I appreciate your work. Regina, I think, was instrumental in pushing us forward to say we're not going to settle for something that's not the best and what we really need. And I think that was helped push us over the edge. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank all of you. Now, next item is election of chairperson and vice chair. And we are open for nominations for the chairperson. And I'd like to nominate John Lindell.
Thanks.
I'll second.
Apparently it is Corville's turn, as I...
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. More importantly, it's your turn.
My turn.
Motion by, was it Regina? By me, but second.
But I'll give it to Lonnie.
I didn't get anything out of it. Good.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yay.
John, congratulations.
Thank you.
Chair. Now a motion for vice chairperson.
And isn't North Liberty due up now? Is that how I understand the rotation?
I believe this.
I don't know.
Correct.
That is correct.
That's right.
So I would nominate.
Yeah, it was Henry, Tom, me, Pat for chair.
So I would nominate Tom Salm as vice chair. Is that what I'm doing? Vice chair, yes. Vice chairperson.
Second that.
Motion by Lonnie for vice chair to be Tom Salm. Second by Regina. Roll call, Regina.
Yes.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion is approved.
That was short for not coming up.
Very good.
Mention to him that he has to bring donuts every meeting. That's a vice chair's job.
Anything other? Motion for adjournment.
Yes.
Motion by Tom Saxon, or Don Saxon. Second?
Second.
John Lindell. Meeting is adjourned. Yeah.
So we have a January meeting, right? So it'll be the fourth Friday in January.
Yes.
Oh, you don't?